Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharski, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. By the way, normally joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at this time on Thursday morning. He will be with us tomorrow at 7:30. So some scheduling stuff.
Had he to needed push. Some extra time to prepare for my questioning.
He was very excited about having you on the show.
Well, he wants me to do a Rex Road impersonation, which is a difficult ask.
It is a difficult ask.
Indiana. See,
that's pretty good.
That's all I got so far. Well, you know, Nolensville football, is, the coach is great. My kid's got four concussions, but yeah, it's been a good year.
Big fan of Gout Gout.
Yeah. So, you know, my patella fell apart walking up the stairs. But I went to get booze, and I saw Kuharski, and I wasn't limping.
Off to a good start. Looking forward to this impression tomorrow when Charles Robinson joins us at 7:30. So we'll have him on the program tomorrow. Taking your thoughts for PK on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Chef Rand on YouTube.
Chef.
Would you trade Roger McCreary now that Brownlee has emerged? Could probably get a third rounder for him. I'm just guessing on that, though.
This is a problem with a lot of trade suggestions. When the Titans get a deep, good position, people want to immediately get rid of the depth. So Titans, look at what happened to the Titans at corner this year. Snead has disappeared. Awuzie missed 9 games. And so McCreary steadily manned the slot. And then you had Brownlee and Baker. Brownlee very good. Baker pretty solid. And they survived because of the depth. So as soon as you see depth, don't think trade. Think finally a complete position. Finally a complete position. So at corner, they don't have to do anything this offseason. That's one position where you can say the Titans are fine. Hallelujah. Now Let's get to two positions where they don't have to do anything and then try three positions and so on and so on.
So the quarterback position going to be one of those things that they have to address. Brian Callahan discussing yesterday his decision to move on to Mason Rudolph for the remainder of this year. Will Levis asked about going to the bench on Sunday and now moving forward for the rest of this season, what that means for him, what that means for his career and his approach. Here's what Will Levis had to say on that front yesterday.
I think that's the end of the conversation. I still believe that I can be the franchise quarterback for this team. I have the utmost confidence in myself and my ability to lead any team in this league. And I think that this year was great development for me, and I think that I truly did improve. And sure as heck don't want to go out like that. And I know that, you know, there's a positive future for me, whether it's here or somewhere else, and I just got to have the conversations I need to here, and hopefully I can show and prove that I can still be the guy.
So let me ask you, based on what you've seen from Levis, what is best case scenario for him that's realistic for his career moving forward here?
It's funny. I mean, best case scenario for Will Levis is best case scenario for everybody. He gets on a team that's got a great offensive line and a great play calling coach and great weapons and a great defense that's going to get him the ball in advantageous field position, that's going to protect him, that's going to let him do what he does best, which is like the 3-game stretch after he came back from the shoulder that let him throw for over 9 yards per attempt, which is otherworldly. Like, I can't remember who's number one in the league, but the number one season number per attempt is 8. You know, and if he's throwing for 9.6, that's extraordinary. You know, now does he ever wind up in that situation where they say, you know what, we don't need you to process spectacularly well, and we don't need you to negotiate the pocket spectacularly well, because we can minimize all of these things because you're in a completely advantageous situation? Well, if you have a completely advantageous situation, what are the chances you hit the lottery and you're the quarterback that somebody is selecting for that? You know, Brock Purdy has been selected for a very advantageous situation where they can work with his skill set, which is not spectacular, but he's a good decision maker, you know. And so if you're picking a quarterback for a completely advantageous quarterback situation, he's probably going to be a good decision maker. So Will Levis's downside is probably not the downside you're willing to accept.
Yeah. My question with him, I guess, move, like, I had seen enough. Like, I don't fault the Titans for making this move. I would have made the same move. So, having said that, I recognize the arm talent, the ability that Levis has. I just wonder with him, like, does the processing ever get better? Like, does the ability to navigate in the pocket ever get better? I mean, we've talked about that. Like, the more you're in the league, the more defenses you see, the more you should be able to recognize and process what's going on out there. But like, that's the probably the most discouraging part about Sunday. Go look at the interceptions he threw. He wasn't under pressure. No. Like, it was a clean pocket where he sees the field and he just lets it fly, and it was either inaccurate or just totally the wrong decision. And you can't have too much of that as a quarterback in this league.
I think that stuff can get better. The question is, to what degree? And I think it's hard, having seen what we've seen through, I think it's 19 starts, to say substantially better. But again, you know, say he's here for at least next year, but maybe 2 years as a backup, and then they just let his contract expire and he goes somewhere. You know, so he's here for 2 years primarily as a backup, and then he's somewhere else maybe as a bridge or a backup, and then maybe, you know, he gets a chance to start. How much better can it have gotten in that time? Well, you know, I thought it was kind of BS that his timeout with the shoulder here was going to help him, and when he came out of those three games watching, it seemed like it helped him with that stuff. So it's a fluid thing. It's not linear. Everybody says that, you know. I like him personally. I think he's a good dude. I'd like to see things ultimately go well for him. But, you know, I wouldn't place much of a bet on the ceiling being especially high. I still think there's a chance he could resurface and be a satisfactory starting quarterback somewhere at some point. But satisfactory,
right?
You know, Ryan Tannehill level satisfactory in a good system that could get you to playoffs. You know, that to me would be like
best case,
optimistic ceiling.
Right. Yeah. I think.
But a lot of teams would take that. I mean, this team would take that.
Heck yeah, they'd take it right now. The Callahan part of this is interesting to me too. You know, we've talked about the at times effusive praise that there was on Callahan's front, on Levis heading into this. And I realize that some of that is just naturally, you're a new head coach taking a new job, you're coming in to work with the quarterback, and you're going to have some of that just naturally flows out of your mouth anyway. I think we saw at the beginning part of the season, and he said it even yesterday, like one of the things Callahan said yesterday was, when you're in the building and like you're going over video and you're looking at film, Levis is elite at that. Like he can diagnose what's going on. He can tell you exactly what he's seeing out there. He does it on the practice field. The challenge has been getting it from the field and the classroom to the game, which is ultimately the only thing that really matters in this league, and he's not been able to do it consistently enough. Like you saw it earlier in the year when he was making some of those mistakes. I think Callahan was in shock like the first 2 weeks. Like there's the shot of him on the sideline after he rolls the ball on the ground saying, what the F are you doing? Like, I think there was some of that early in the year where he's like, this is not at all – on game day is not at all what I'm seeing in the practice field and in the classroom.
That was very telling.
So how much do you factor that part of it in where, like, the coaching part of it and taking it, you know, on the classroom, on the practice field, it's what you think it should look like with him? And then he can't translate it to game day. Some guys just can't do it. Some guys just can't translate it to game day. Is it any sort of referendum on Callahan as a coach working with a quarterback that it has played out this way with Levis in your mind?
you know, it's hard to say, not knowing more, but based on what you're saying, and that quote was very telling yesterday. Terrific in the classroom, good on the practice field, doesn't translate to games. So there's a little bit of like a deer in the headlights kind of feeling, presuming that the deer's good when the headlights aren't on,
yep.
You know? So who's that indict, number one? Well, it indicts the guy who can do it in the classroom and on the practice field. And it doesn't translate. And I think, you know, Callahan was pretty much saying what you just said. Like, I'm baffled by the inability for this to translate. Now, I think he was saying, I'm baffled by the inability for us all to translate this.
Yeah.
For me and Nick Holtz and Bo Hardegree to work with him to get this to translate. But ultimately, you know, if they're getting it out of him in the meeting room and if they're getting it out of him on the practice field, I think it's a reasonable expectation with every other guy, if you're doing those things, to expect it on game day.
Yep.
And then when you don't get it on game day, you come in on Monday and you say, what the hell was that?
Right.
And I think they've had a lot of that. And then at a certain point, you say, well, he can't do it on Sunday. I think that's what the kind of Monday conversation was, where he was talking about, you know, the accountability and the fairness to the locker room and all of that, which I think at quarterback can be kind of different. I think maybe it would have been better couched like we're talking about.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a very good quote by him. And I think he might have been better served to say on Monday, like, hey, we're seeing it during the week and it's not translating on Sundays. And when it's not translating on Sundays, it's killing everybody.
Couple more things I want to get to on the Levis front coming up next with PK. We'll do that. Brian Callahan also sounding off at his press conference yesterday. We'll get into that coming up as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in to 93.3 FM, Totally Hits Nashville tonight for MTSU men's basketball. Blue Raiders taking on Lipscomb at the Murphy Center. Tip off at 6:30, pregame beginning at 6 o'clock. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts for PK on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. I'm interested to see, as you brought up, PK, next 2 years, Titans could have Levis on the roster. He could be there. He could be either in competition with whatever veteran they bring in this offseason, serve as the backup to the veteran or the next rookie that they draft. Or the Titans could operate like some other teams have and say, you know what? We like you. We'd love to have you around, but probably just not the greatest environment. You take off, go somewhere else. We'll eat the dead money, which is not that bad.
No.
Given back that he's a second-round pick, and you go try to find something for you elsewhere, and we'll address the quarterback position beyond that. I'm interested to see what the Titans' viewpoint on that is. Like, is Levis going to be on the team next year, or do they think it's better to just go ahead and cut bait on that in the offseason?
I think it's better to have him around. I mean, because you already need one, and going and finding two, you know, is going to be a problem. Mason Rudolph, a free agent.
Yep.
You know, anything is possible, but he's going to go somewhere and be a backup of some level. You know, maybe they wash their hands of him, but
Well, he's not going anywhere to start. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. No. But I envision him here in a backup role. And look, you know, they could do poorly enough in this that he is competing for a spot, or somebody comes in and struggles and they have to turn things back over to him at some point. So
that'll go over well around here. That'll be good.
We will see. Yeah, it wouldn't bode well for them if they're in that situation.
Brian Callahan sounding off at his press conference yesterday. It's been making the rounds all over social media. They were talking about it on Get Up on ESPN just a few minutes ago about whether or not the Titans are soft. Easton Freeze posed that question to him yesterday, and that led to
Prompted by Mike Herndon's column at PaulKuharski.com.
No doubt. And that prompted a tirade from the Titans head coach. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say yesterday at his press conference.
There are a lot of folks who think this team is soft physically and mentally. How would you respond to that idea?
I mean, you really want to get me going today? yeah, I think, to be honest with you, I think it's complete and total bull, if you want my honest opinion. These guys are tough f***ers, man. They go after it every day. They play hard as hell, and there's at no point have we ever put on tape at any point this season that this is a soft football team. Like I can't even wrap my mind around how that would even be a conversation. I mean, just because we don't win games doesn't mean we're soft. These guys play their ass off. They play hard. They play physical. You can ask any team that plays against us that when they come off the field, they know they played us. Yeah, that makes me relatively angry that would be some presumption. That means you just don't watch this. You know, you don't do anything about it that you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're looking at. So I'm not going to stand for anybody calling this football team soft. I think that's bull. So if there's opinions out there that feel that way, then, you know, they don't know anything about NFL football. So I'd like you to walk in there and call one of these guys soft and see what happens. You know, this is not a soft football team at all, mentally or physically. And I think one of the things mentally that's really been impressive about the team is that the way that they keep fighting through the way that this season has gone. They've not shown at any point that they're not up to the task. They come out every day and work. They have – I mean, I'm really – you're going to really get me going now. I mean, these guys come out here and they do everything possible to win games. And if there's any assumption anywhere that's outside of this building, again, we don't focus on all those things, but there's no possible explanation to say that this team is soft any way, shape, or form, mentally or physically. And the way that they go about their work it's insulting to me, to them, to everyone that works here. So, you know, I'm not – that no chance ever in hell would I ever admit that to be the case, and neither would anybody in this locker room. So you can kind of shove that one right up your – to be honest, so –
So a passionate response there from Brian Callahan.
I'm not accusing them of being physically soft, but I would say a three-word response to that. Nicholas Petit-Frere. Is Nicholas Petit-Frere physically or mentally tough?
He has not displayed that.
I think Nashville as a city with plenty of smart football people would look at him and say the answer is resoundingly no. And we've talked to him about that pretty directly in the locker room. You know, but this idea that because a guy is tougher than me, you know, go challenge him about his toughness. Yeah, all of them could kick my ass. You know, we know that. That doesn't make them, you know, sufficiently NFL tough. And most
that's not the bar in the NFL.
Most of them are.
Yeah.
But Nicholas Petit-Frere has been disappointing in his toughness growth in the NFL.
Now
he's backed down from people too often, and he's talked about.
Yeah.
That mentality.
I've said this earlier. Like, I think when the word soft gets thrown around, I mean, that's naturally going to generate that type of reaction from Brian Callahan when you're talking about professional sports. So I'm not necessarily surprised that it's made the rounds the way that it's I'm not generally speaking come away thinking that the Titans are a soft football team. But I do think you brought up some good points earlier in terms of like the mental part of this. That is, it's not just. Oh, how tough are you physically? Like, can you respond mentally when things aren't going your way, when adversity hits? They've lost 7 games this year by 10 or more points. Now, some of that is just because they're not very good. I get that. Like, the talent level is just not good enough. Like, they're not going to compete with Buffalo and Detroit. So I understand that. Some of it, I think, is things like Washington, I think, is a good example. Like, it just totally spiraled on them, and they couldn't pull themselves out of it at that point. And you did say earlier, PK, that you thought maybe a little of that was performative from Brian Callahan in terms of the way he answered that question. What do you mean by that?
Well, he doesn't generally raise his voice or swear. And so, you know, he was defending his team there in a way that it's unsurprising that it's on Get Up and all around the internet. And he's a guy that is perceived, right or wrong, to be in jeopardy job-wise. I think the owner wouldn't mind seeing him defending his team like that. His players wouldn't mind seeing him defend his team like that. It was a nice opportunity for him put on a tee, kind of, to defend his boys. and to further endear himself to them by correcting something all of them would fight an opinion of, whether there's some accuracy to that opinion, which I think on the mental side there is, or not. So it's out of character,
yeah,
at the very least.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take more of your reaction to Brian Callahan's rant that he threw out there yesterday. All things Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This week's Nashville's Best Deal from Brewster's Real Ice Cream in Hendersonville. Brewster's offers handcrafted cakes, pies, and ice cream flavors of peppermint, Oreo, eggnog, and gingerbread, man. Enjoy the magic of homemade happiness this season. Visit thegamenashville.com/deals and get half off a $50 gift card while supplies last. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Got some tickets to give away to see Belmont men's basketball as they take on UC Irvine tonight at the Fisher Center. You call 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, call 3, we'll win a pair of tickets to see Belmont take on UC Irvine coming up later tonight. Taking your thoughts for PK on the Titans as well, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Deagle on YouTube says, "It is insulting, but I'm even more mad at organizational leadership hasn't had the decency or respect enough to address the fan base. Callahan has at least answered for it as it relates to this front office setup that we've talked about."
He answers for everything. I asked him about this a couple weeks ago, yep, about, and he said, "Hey, it's the deal. I'm the head coach and the face of the organization in that manner, and it's what I signed up for." I think most of us think it's not fair. He didn't make the decisions that are costing them this. He didn't draft Will Levis. He didn't have the power to make a decision about the personnel at right tackle,
yep,
et cetera, et cetera. But this organization operates now in a fashion that only the head coach speaks. We will hear from more than that in one whole press conference. And maybe it'll be split into multiple press conferences, but in one whole appearance by other people, person or people, after the season's over. And that'll give us a lot more to discuss in terms of rationale, explanations, direction, anticipating what they do going forward after the season's over. And so we'll hear something from then. But I personally think that there's a degree of hiding by decision makers previous to that. And I don't think we're ever going to hear from the owner except occasionally through – you know, their Pravda arm.
Joel says, "I hear Paul saying the things he's hearing is that Callahan, the front office, are likely back next year, which makes sense to me. So are other reporters talking about, quote, Callahan coaching for his job, just being dramatic, trying to generate engagement? What do you think about that?"
I think they presume that he's coaching for his job because it would appear that way. I think, you know, and they think that Amy can be, shockingly short. I don't want to say short-sighted, but that she can make a rash decision on a guy after 1 year. And they presume that that's the case with bad results. Very rarely, you know, it's happened, but one-shot coaches are rare. And I don't think the other reporters are in position to get the sense that I'm getting. And again, I'll say that the sense that I'm getting could, you know, be washed away with a disastrous performance in Oilers uniforms against the Texans in the final home game. So I'm not writing it in stone or blood.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Things can change in a hurry with this franchise. I brought it up earlier. Like, the biggest question I've got, who's fixing this thing? You know, you laid out the Carthon moves that he's made in your piece at paulkarski.com, where some positions have gotten better, a lot of positions have gotten worse since he's taken over. And there's still a lot of work left to be done. So I guess what I'm really wondering here, how patient is Amy willing to be? That's what I keep coming back to in a lot of these conversations. Because it seems to me, PK, that if you continue with this route, you're going to either have to find a veteran quarterback that's probably in all likelihood going to be less than satisfactory in terms to starting level NFL quarterback play in this league, or you're going to draft a rookie to be your quarterback, which could be a total crapshoot, as we know. And the history of that with this franchise has not gone well. There's a ton of holes left to fill this offseason. So it feels to me like this team is pretty far away from being a team that's competitive. So how patient is Amy willing to be? Like, if she brings this group back next year and they're not in the playoffs, are they out of a job? If she brings this group back next year and they go 7-10, is that good enough to say, oh, well, things are heading in the right direction moving forward? Like, because this doesn't seem like a, regardless of what they do at quarterback, unless they just strike lightning in a bottle like Houston did with C.J. Stroud, this seems like a multi-year fix to me. And I wonder how patient she's willing to be through that.
Yeah, well, I'd say the same thing about next year that I kind of felt about this year. I didn't come into this year thinking jobs were on the line, but I thought the expectation for this year would be for this team to get increasingly better as the season went on, and that's not what's happened. But I certainly think next year the expectation would be to see this team get increasingly better as the season goes on, no matter who they bring in. Bring in people to address these needs that we're always talking about, coach them up, and show improvement as a team as the season goes along with players that you've brought in, getting increasingly more comfortable with what you're doing and performing better as things go on. You know, there's going to be a good rate of turnover on most teams every year, and certainly on a team like this. So, you know, Chad Brinker told me last year, well, his big question with how many new guys they were bringing in was how quickly would they gel?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you can use that again. You have to accelerate the gelling, and gelling accelerates if you have better players who play better.
Yeah. The gelling part of it, there's probably some of that. Like Ridley's an interesting one to me. Ridley came in, and there was about a 4 or 5 week stretch where he didn't do anything. And then he started to figure out. And he's been, I would say, fine since then. I wouldn't say he's been great since then, but he's been fine since then. So I think some of that probably is gelling. They figured some things out. He made some adjustments, and they got him more involved in the game plan. He started catching the ball, all those things. But some of these guys are just going to be bad signings, right? Like, is Snead going to be on the field at any point?
We'll see.
Like, right now, that looks
good. If he's not on the
field
next year playing well, it's a lot of people are willing to call it a bust already. I don't think he can call it a bust already. If he comes out and has a, you know,
yeah,
Pro Bowl, All-Pro season next year, then he will have had a dud season, not a dud trade. But, you know, if it's a dud trade, that's a really bad thing. You also have to make quicker assessments.
Yes.
You can't waste 4 weeks on Treylon Burks.
Yes.
When you've got a better guy behind him.
Yes.
And Callahan and his staff has to be more aware of those things.
Well, then you got to figure out right tackle, right guard you can probably throw into the mix. Edge rusher you're going to have to address. You're going to have to address wide receiver. I still think they need a young guy at wide receiver that comes in because they don't really have one right now. You got all that to figure out. Safety that you've got to figure out.
Inside
quarterback.
Linebacker you got to sort out. Yeah, we're kind of setting quarterback aside
right
as above all of this, which it should be.
But all of that you've got to figure out this offseason, the likelihood of you doing that's just so low to a satisfactory enough level where you're back in competition next year for a playoff spot.
And this now, is a year after we said they had too much to address
exactly
in one offseason.
Exactly.
Well, this can't be too much to address in one offseason, otherwise you will be extending into three offseasons. And teams repair rosters in two offseasons.
Well, and I guess the one thing that you would – that you could have going your way right now. Like, you look at Indianapolis, they're a mess too. I mean, Anthony Richardson has been horrible for the most part this year, so what are they going to look like as they move forward? Jacksonville, we know, is an absolute tire fire down there. So your own division could get you in a spot where you're competitive pretty quickly if you hit on most of those. Like, even Houston. Like, Houston hadn't had the – I know they're going to end up winning the division, but Houston's not had the type of year this year – than I think most expected heading into the year. So maybe your division is more gettable moving forward than we thought heading into this season, but you still got to make a lot of the right decisions.
And maybe, you know, there's change coming in Jacksonville for sure. I would think there's a GM change at least coming in Indianapolis. So you're quote unquote a year ahead of them in terms of building your program if in fact your owner likes the direction you're heading in terms of not results, but in terms of process and the overall direction you're heading.
Yep.
She would see you as conceivably, and I don't think that's unreasonable to say, ahead of those teams in terms of being on your roadmap. That's hard to hear probably for a lot of people, but those teams are messes too.
No, there's a bunch of messes in this division right now, and unfortunately for you, you're one of them. 615-737-1025. Our phone number. Preds Pick the Click coming up next. We'll take the first caller, 615-737-1025. If you guess a goal scorer for the Preds tonight, you win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that. Wrap up the show with final thoughts on the Titans as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
It's time for Preds Picks to Click.
And a shot at a score.
Do you think you know who will score a goal in tonight's Predators game?
Little give and go.
Shoot your shot for a chance to win Preds tickets. Call 615-737-1025 now. It's Pick to Click, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road. Preds back in action tonight, taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Buck drop 7 o'clock, pregame 6 o'clock here on 1025-1063 the game. Standings in the competition. Rex Road remains in first place. 5 correct answers. One of those belonging to Kuharsky, by the way.
Thank you.
So Kuharsky also in first place. Keyser on the board last time out. Brings him up to 3. I also have 3. The listeners at 2. It's been a struggle for the listeners so far this year. We'll see if that changes today. Let's head to our 1025 The Game phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Josh, to the program. Josh, good morning. Thanks for calling in. Who's your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Going to go with the high hand, Jonathan Marchessault.
Going with Marchessault. Josh, appreciate the call, man.
Good luck.
Marchessault playing very well right now. Scored again last time out. That line of Forsberg, Stamkos, Marchessault playing very well for the Predators at the moment. I'm up next. I'm going to go with Forsberg. I'm going to do so reluctantly. I think he's got one goal in his last 16 games, 17 games. So in some ways, that's very discouraging. In other ways, I feel like he's due. So I'll go Forsberg. Marchessault, Forsberg off the board. Paul Kuharsky, your pick to click for the Nashville Predators.
Yeah, I'd like to really, I should take somebody terrible for Rex Road, but in the spirit of the competition, I'll take Stamkos.
With Steven Stamkos in the competition. So that top line off the board. Keyser, your pick to click for the Preds tonight.
I'm going to go with Ryan O'Reilly down on the second line.
Going with Ryan O'Reilly. Marchessault, Forsberg, Stamkos, O'Reilly, the picks to click tonight for the Nashville Predators. Preds make a trade last night. Alex Carrier to Montreal. Justin Barron, a defenseman, coming back the other way from the Canadiens to Nashville. And we'll see how that affects the Predators as they move forward here. Andrew Burnett with us earlier in the show. If you missed it, check it out. Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast.
I got a question for you about clubhouse baseball.
Okay.
What do you think about so the Yankees traded for Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
Cody Bellinger is married to Giancarlo Stanton's ex-wife and has 3 children with them. Now, it's nothing new. I mean, clubhouses are filled with guys who've dated, you know, the same women, but this seems like an extreme factor here. You think they check in with Stanton about, I mean.
I would hope so.
Say, hey, the man. Potential for awkwardness is huge here, but Stanton has to not care for the good of the team.
I would think so. I was not aware of this until you made me aware of this. That's pretty wild. Like, what's the conversation like with Stanton at that point? Hey, man, so we're thinking about bringing in Bellinger. You cool with that? With that history? You going to be able to coexist in the locker room together? I don't know. I've never heard of that specific dynamic being involved with a professional team, ever.
I bet it has.
It probably has. I just can't remember one.
I mean, these guys are teammates are in the same circles a lot socially. But, yeah, it has a lot of potential for weirdness.
It does. How do you feel about it as a Yankees fan?
I hope it doesn't cause any difficulties, but I'm not particularly concerned with making Stanton happy unless he's in the postseason hitting a lot of home runs.
I just want to see
Stanton. During the season, he's going to be on the DL a lot of time. He won't be around Mrs. Bell.
I just need him to try to steal as many bases as possible. Yeah. It's of great entertainment value to me when he tries.
I mean, for a professional athlete in a sport that requires running, to include a guy that can't run, it's pretty remarkable. It's a remarkable feat.
So Soto gone, Bellinger in. I'm sure they're not done, but what do you make? What do you make of how your Yanks are looking?
In Fried and Williams, too. Yeah. They still need two more guys, first baseman, third baseman. Bellinger can play some first, but then you need a center fielder. I mean, I like it so far, but they're not. I sure hope they're not finished.
Scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you to watch Mason Rudolph quarterback this Sunday in Indianapolis?
Solid 3.
That's higher than I thought.
I mean, I like news. There's going to be a new storyline. I like a refreshed storyline. So virtually anything's going to get a 3 from me.
Okay.
That's my rationale.
All right.
You? A 1?
Can we go in the negatives? I'll go 1.
What time do the Packers play?
Monday Night Football. There's no escape there. Just got to watch the whole thing. All 3 hours of that Titans game I'm going to consume on Sunday. Looking forward to it. Mason, slinging around out there, son.
Nashville is fired up. Get fired up. Buy your tickets for the Houston game for Christmas. I'm sure the billboard's up. I haven't seen it. I didn't look for it today. But there's only one remaining chance to see this team this year. And then, you know, team's never the same.
Crowd did look a little better against Cincinnati.
Crowd was much better against Cincinnati.
Until they all left.
There was some orange sprinkled into the lower bowl, but I think Titans fans did the majority of the work.
Didn't they have Brad Hopkins come out there to do it?
Brad Hopkins was in a tough spot.
Titans fans!
There had been a tough stretch of football right before Brad Hopkins had to come out and wave a towel and get the crowd excited. I felt badly for Brad.
Oh, boy. That's going to do it for us today. PK will be back tomorrow with us on the program.
Don't block the box. Lock your locks.
Jason Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.